We've made it through all of the work around how to make really good decisions. Most of that was around being an individual and how you make decisions. Now we're going to migrate into if you're a team and you've got to start making some decisions. One of the biggest questions is how do you get everybody bought into a decision? And fortunately, we've actually already covered most of this stuff. I'm going to give you two references again. Module 1, Video 14, Staging the Ascent. This one you might remember, that's the Everest metaphor of the various stages. I'm not going to go through that now, but that's a great video. That's a great technique for you to think about whenever you're trying to get a larger group of people bought into a particular vision. Now, there is another technique that I introduced in Module 3, Video 7, which is Are Your People Awake? That's what it's called. Near the end of that video or halfway through that video, I introduce in the Arise Performance Model the 80-20 rule, and it is detailed in that workbook as well, starting on page 3, where I basically talk about a particular way to get a more collaborative approach to decision-making. So review both of those if you have any questions about getting team buy-in. Once you have kind of an initial vector or direction about your decision before it's fully baked, this is a great way to go. Now, once we have that done, we move on to how you align team actions. So let's say you've got lots of agreement. Well, one of the things we know is this little story that I already introduced you to, normal. Even after you've decided on taking the hill, you'll have all kinds of questions and issues. And so I'm going to show you a couple of very concrete techniques that allow you to make this stuff go away. You can vanish it instantly when you use some of these basic techniques. And the first one I'm going to show you is basically just strategic planning 101. You might know how to do this. You might be an expert in this. That's okay. Just in case, I'm going to show you a few of my little tips and tricks. I used to do this for a living. Let me walk you through the steps. Now, the first thing to remember is this. Strategy is all about the how. Remember the why we already did, the what is your operation. Strategy is around how. How you do something matters as much as what you do. Remember that, because that informs why we do strategy. So what I'm going to walk you through is a document now. And by the way, you can download this document. It's a template. And you can also see a filled out version, a sample of this entire document filled out by a property management company I worked with, and all of it's anonymous. But this is something you can reference. You can actually download right now. It's a Word document, so you can just input your thinking in this structure, but I'm going to walk you through it here in this presentation. Step one is you want to answer the question, why are we having this conversation? What's the background for the strategic document that I'm about to read? What's been going on in the market? Are there changes in the organization? What's been happening? Doesn't have to be a lot. This can be a couple of bullet points. This doesn't have to be too elaborate. You can do this, by the way, for yourself, even if you don't have running a team. You just want to get clear on your own thinking about where you want to go, why, and how. But it is especially potent when you're trying to get a bunch of people on the same page. Number two, you want to establish the objectives. What do we want to accomplish? What are the goals? Now, I want to punch in on this one because it's really critical. There's a lot of research around goals, how they function psychologically, how they motivate, how they don't. And I'm going to give you the best practices on how to do goal setting in a really smart way. It's not going to take long. So first, break goals down into time stages. So that's literally, you want to set your goals. If you know you got to be somewhere in a year, where do you have to be in the first month? What has to happen by 1 month in order for you to hit that goal a year from now? What has to happen in 3 months, 6 months, and finally your 12-month goal? And it can be really helpful to just break that down because everybody gets a clarity around which needs to happen in what order. Now, a related issue to this, and this is about how you frame it, how you talk about it, and how you hold one another accountable to the achievement of these goals is this. You don't want to have just time frames. You want to use calendar dates. So July 17th, you need this stuff done by that date. And so here's why that's important, because time has a funny way of moving. So if you've written the document a month ago and you look at the document, it says this needs to be done within 1 month, people may not realize that month has already passed. And so you've got to establish, look, we're gonna agree to this today. That means within 30 days, that happens to be July 17th, we're going to say by July 17th, these things have to be done. By October 21st, these things have to be done. By December 17th, these things have to be done. And that's how you get the, I highly recommend you set goals using actual dates rather than just time frames. So good practice to break it up into dates. better practice to actually name the dates. Now, the other, so that's one way to go about goal setting. The other dimension, and actually you can use them both together if you want. The other dimension is actually, they've done a lot of research around motivation and goals, and they find that many people try to set their goals really high, a big, huge, ambitious dream, which I definitely recommend. It helps you get there. It helps you align people, motivate people. However, they've also found that when the goal is too big or seems unreachable or too out of your control, your motivation declines. So how do you get the best of both worlds? How do you calibrate that? Well, the way you do that is you set up three goals. The first one is your minimum. Your minimum goal should literally be, if you're sleepwalking, you can hit it. I mean, this should be really easy. It's got to be the absolute minimum for your organization to stay alive and thrive. So really easy goal to hit. One that, as long as most people are reasonably good at what they're doing, you're going to hit this goal. It's just a shoo-in. Then you want to hit a target goal. And so your minimum is easy. The target is, hey, this is what we're hoping we can achieve. If we really put our minds to it, if we really put effort into it, we might be able to achieve this. And then the final one is a stretch goal. And this is, look, if all the planets align and all the things out of our control and in our control were to all come together in just the right way, what would be possible? What big, huge imagination might we dream about in terms of our goals? And then you set all three of these. Now, why is this important? Because they found that when you achieve small wins, name them, recognize them, see them, because small wins actually accumulate like drops in a river that lead into an ocean. They actually bring about more energy, more power, more sustaining effort around a particular objective. So here's the other piece. So one is around time. This one is around setting a minimum, a target, and a stretch goal. So whatever it is you're working on, whatever metric you're using, attendance, customers, sales, revenue, impact, fundraising, doesn't matter. This is a really helpful framework to apply so that you get the maximum motivation and you also start to leverage all the power from a big imagination. Okay, that is all about objectives. Step three, you're going to answer the question about strategy, how we plan to accomplish these objectives. These are a couple of bullet points. In this case, you might want to use a couple of options. One option, we think we're going to go left, and here are the advantages and the disadvantages. Or we might go right, here are the advantages and disadvantages. So that's what that section is about. Structure. So, you know, in sequence, remember we talked about vision, values, strategy, and structure. So in many ways, you don't see vision and values in here because usually you're not working with those. Those are more 10-year time frames. This is more 18 months to 3 years in some cases. The structure is what's going to support that strategy. You remember I did a whole module, in case you missed my face because you're not seeing me. I wanted to make sure you saw my face. This is module 4, video 2, who's on first, and module 4, video 3, creating swim lanes. This is all about how you create structures that support your strategy. All right, so if you have questions about that, you might make recommendations. You're looking at what roles need to be created, who needs to be accountable for what. Do you need to hire people? Do you need to rearrange people? Do you need to reorganize anything? That's what that's about. 5 is process. What actions, in what order, need to be taken? So this is about setting those priorities. And there's a little chart in the actual worksheet or guidebook that I've shown you that just shows you really simply what's the action, who's responsible, by when, and you just fill that in. Number 6 is, this is if you're doing a strategy where you have a boss or a governing board or someone over you or even a partner, you would actually write down what you think leadership expects of you, either your partner or the board or the authority, what you think, hey, I think I was hired to do this. I think these are my mandates. And you want to list these out clearly because not everybody knows or agrees with you. And so when you state them in black and white, it allows people to go, wait a minute, that's not what we expect of you. We expect this, not that. And that helps you get clear on exactly what your mandate is. And then you get to ask what I need from leadership to succeed. Again, could be your board, could be your partner, could be whatever. what I need from you. So as a person who's got to execute against this strategy, there are certain things I need. I might need more authority. I might need more money. I might need more time. I might need a new staffing arrangement. Whatever it is, that's what you want to articulate. So here you go. Those are the 7 steps to building breakthrough strategy. And I hope you take a look at it, make use of it. It can be very effective in communicating and creating alignment around action. In the next video, I'm going to introduce you to a couple of other key little tools that I think you'll like around setting priorities.